Hello, my name is Scott Flanagan, and I'm interviewing Mr. Arch J. Flanagan, my grandfather. He lives at 211 Church Street. The date is February the 21st, and I'm Scott Flanagan. I live at 501 Grimmersburg Street, and this is the interview. Granddaddy, how long have you lived in Fallville?
Well, Scott, I lived in Fallville most of the time from since 1914 up until now.
And have you, were you born near Fallville or in Fallville?
Yes, I was born in the country and I was on the old Snow Hill Greenville Road, which is 5 miles from Fallville. Until I was the age of 14.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one brother, that's Curtis Flanagan, and he's 7 years younger than myself.
How old are you now?
Well, I can keep up it with my age very easily. I was born in 1900, and so this is the year 79, so
yes, sir. What did your father do for a living?
My father was a farmer, and he and my mother were very good farmers, I thought, in that day. My mother helped, I say my mother because she helped him literally in the fields and anywhere the job would call for.
How did your mother do household chores such as cooking?
Well, I want to say that she did her cooking and she was working in the tobacco line. They were tobacco farmers, but she gathered the vegetables and with the help of my mother and myself at night, and she cooked her meals for the next day that night. Back of one, but hand the back and so on. Do you have some other things that you want me to bring out other than cooking or about the Bible, their way of life and so on?
Yes, sir. Like, how did they wash clothes and clean the house and raise the kids?
Well, I remember very distinctly that I got up and looked for the water in a big iron pot in the back way, your backyard and so on. They had a regular place to cook, to do the washing. And my mother used what they call the box soap. She made the soap herself out of the savings of the grease from the pigs and so on that from the killed hogs. So she used that to make soap that she rubbed on the clothes and rubbed on the board, and she did it the manual way of the old timey board. Using the old timey board.
Did she have any help with appliances and stuff like this? Like a wringer or something?
Well, that was after she'd get a new washboard once in a while when she wear out the first one, but no, we didn't have many appliances other than just the thing that were homemade, and they were unusual in a sense that they were awkward to use most all the time, but it was the kind of thing that they could use and manage very well. I remember how they used to we had a cow and we had pigs and we had chickens and what have you. So all of those things took that course, and in that way I learned the way of life from my mother and my father.
How did they raise the kids? Did they do anything differently than is done nowadays?
I want to say about that, but I believe that is. careful how I talk to my mother and dad's friends, especially elderly people, even to the colors. I have to say, Uncle so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so. And I loved all those people, and it wasn't hard to get me to speak kindly about them and to them.
When you were a child, did your parents punish you? And if so, what did they do for punishment?
Well, they had to think up different ways, because it took quite a bit of to make me understand, I suppose. So they actually used the paddle, airbrush, peach tree limb, and all of those things that they thought would get rid of me to the extent that I remember what I had done and wouldn't forget it and couldn't do it again.
When you wanted money, did you have an allowance or did you have a part-time job?
Well, I had a job on the farm, and my father raised apples and peaches, and they had a nice orchard. My job was, when anybody came and wanted some apples, I was the one to wait on them and help them get the apples and help them get the peaches. And I remember back in that time, maybe it was around 1910, 11, and 12, the apples sold for 50 cents a bushel, and peaches for $1 a bushel.
Where and when did you go to school, high school and college?
Well, I went to grammar school near where I live, which, well, it was a mile and a little bit of Lang's Crossroad. Had a two-teacher school there. And I remember going to school there, and we had playtime twice a day besides midday. So we had that many minutes to play, so we didn't get out of school until 4 o'clock. Then I had to walk home and do the chores.
What type of chores did you have to do?
Well, I had to bring in the wood for the night if it was in winter time, and bring in the wood to not only to cook with, but to keep a fire in the fireplace. Mm-hmm. And I can remember that very well, and I really got a bang out of sitting there at night and looking at the coals and hearing the pot crackle and pop. So it really was interesting, and especially the things that I had to do with the hog killing time. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't such a bad life after all. There's so many things going on, and the animals, chickens and what have you, cows. I had to keep the cows in and help milk the cows and so on. And did that even after I was grown, milk cows and taught my children to milk cows.
How many people were at your school?
Well, at the first school, it was about 20, 25. It seemed to be a two-teacher school. It was almost double that much, like 30 people.
Did you go to college?
Yes. After coming over to farmland in 1914, I started going to school in farmland, and it was quite different from what it was out there at the two-teacher school, because they had classes, and each class had that made up all of the people that were in that one room, you see. But before that, they were mixed, you know, from first grade on up, and the oldest pupil in the school. So, as I said, everybody in the room that I was in then was taking the same subjects, and made it quite different. Because we didn't have to listen to the young children cry and have their troubles and so on. And so, and I observed the first rule of school. And do you know what the first rule of school is?
Yes, sir.
Love your teacher.
What did you study at college?
Then I went to college in 1920 after being, you know, the Student Army Training Corps in Wilson. That was in 1918. We came home and went back to high school to finish that part of my education at home. So it was unusual because we were handicapped so badly. That was at the time from 1918 when people died like flies with pneumonia, influenza, and pneumonia. So I went in with the flu myself. It broke into our schools so badly that we didn't get it. We had to forfeit some time because we just couldn't finish work for years down. So maybe about 2 years of that. So actually I didn't finish high school until 1920.
Tell us about your school building and your teachers.
Well, you mean in high school or in college now? Where do you want me to be at this point?
College.
Well, I went to college. I went to Lake Forest College in 1920. And in there is a student, freshman. Numbers of the teachers were men, of course, and we didn't have any lady teachers except the librarian in college, and so it was unusual to me to go to school more or less to a man rather than a woman, you see. So, but I caught on to that pretty well, I think, and I learned to like those teachers, and they seemed more like a member of my family quickly, I guess they were responsible for that, because they kind of made it up to the young fellows and young that they were away from home, you know, and they needed somebody to guide them and get them and help them. And that day, more so than today, by all means, was that the professors tried to take the part of the leading personality in the lives of the young men that they were teaching.
What was your courtship like?
Oh boy. Well, it's strange to say that I would like a whole lot of boys even today. When I was in school, I don't know why, in high school and college, it seemed like certainly up to my sophomore year in college. Really, I never thought about much girls. I take that back so much, you know, but I mean, I didn't have steady dates much. And so as time went on during my college experience, well, I did learn to think well of the young ladies, and so I met some very young people and related. And I fell in love with some of them. They didn't fall in love with me, and so on. So until I got out of college, that was the way of my life. But when I got out of college, it so happened that my mother was taking borders and rumors, and she's been doing that for some time since she moved to Fargo. And then the young lady that came, I didn't meet her until I got back home. Well, I didn't come home much. But anyway, she turned out to be my wife, to my surprise. I didn't even have an idea. I was falling in love until I was already smitten. So she was a girl from up in the central part of the state. In fact, she lived in the ghost of North Carolina. She was a member of a family and the 17th child of a family of 21. Mm. That didn't seem to end it though. But I was very fond of her mother, and her father died pretty soon after I met him. He was over a few years or so. Well, to make a long story short, son, I suppose that I don't like to say that it was made for each other or anything like that, but we grew to be practically one person in our thinking and doing and our way of life. So, yeah, I can certainly say that we were one person. We lived with her until 1953, I mean, up for almost the Bible. So we lost her, and she was the mother of my children, two boys and two girls. Well, I had another experience too, you want that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, then I met this girl that I was in high school with, fresh and new, I didn't even know it. So she was quite a woman. At the time I first met her, which I believe she was 15 years of age. But she married him. Upstate. Him, and she had one child, and I learned to like him. He's just like one of the children's, one of the sons. His children, all my grandchildren too. So we all get it off pretty well, I reckon. I think so. I've been married to her now nearly 20 years.
What was Fonville like when you were growing up?
Well, it was Fonville, as I was growing up, was, in other words, I can remember when there was just a very few buildings in Fonville. Fonville was supposed to be 1 mile distant, that was south from where it is now. But there were some very prominent people that owned some large, nice farms, and they didn't have farms to sell land off. So they came 1 mile further north and built a little town of farm. I started a little town of farm. And there was one school, one church, one ballroom, and in my beginning remembrance, there maybe like was another little small shack or business, other than those three. But it really, all was a town of no sidewalks, go hard surface streets and anything myself. And the buildings look like shanties. It was so crude. But it revived from that day very rapidly until, in short order, we had all those buildings for wood, you see. In short order, they started building brick buildings. So, they had it really made then. But they had no lights, had no waterworks. I can remember that on the streets then, as time grew on, had a pump with a big horse trough. Way of life then was not automobile by any means, but horses and buggies. And I want to tell you, there were some of the prettiest horses and buggies in existence, I thought, in and around Farmer and Green. So actually, fellas like myself, grown up in, with mules and horses and things, we felt at home with them, and we looked forward to seeing this man's young man would come along, you know, and get up to the age where he wanted to work and have a crop himself. He had got him a horse and buggy as quick as he could, and that was took the place of the automobile, you know. Mm-hmm. He'd go take his bride, girl to ride, friend, girlfriend to ride. And, I guess they could do all right with horses and buggies.
What did you do for entertainment?
As a child,
while living in farm.
While living in farm. Well, actually, I think you want to ask me what I did to help out the family anyway, so I'd like to tell it to you this way. I got a job with a merchant or someone that was doing some mechanical work, like building tobacco flues and things like that. I made me some money. You know what I did with the money?
Yes, sir.
I bought my own clothes. And I spent my money to entertain myself on the shows. A few of them usually had a show that comes down, a little tent show. Mm-hmm. So I'd be able to take me and my little girlfriend, you know. Oh, we have a big time going to the show. So that kind of was our entertainment. And really, I don't know that this was characteristic of children that growing up as any more so than it is today, because I find out that people like to work and make some money for themselves. And maybe they'd like to have some money to count on that the mother and father gave them from time to time and regularly. But they didn't do it that way, that style. But gave the poor fellow a little more independence in that he went out and saw these proceeds people who might need somebody to work on and conducted their own business in a sense. Well, I worked at the farm some, and I worked back and forth in town, what have you. And when I was in college, I made enough money to buy my own clothes, and not only that, for my matriculation, you know, we got to college. My father being a farmer, he had to send some crop before he could get me the money, saying, "Hey, son, you go ahead and use your own money." Then the beautiful part about it all was, and Scott, I'd love to tell you this, my father trusted me explicitly. He said, "Now you go up back to school, do the best you can, use your own judgment, spend your own money. Nobody's going to tell you how much to spend, how much not to spend. But you own your own, and I'm trusting you like it were any other businessman. That did me more good than anything the world has ever done.
What changes have you seen in Farmville over the years? Major changes.
There are quite a number of changes I can remember. Of course, the dirt and clay sidewalks and all this clay on the sidewalks. And that meant that we need a lot of shoe shines and so on. People had a hard time keeping their shoes and clothes too, because when the wind blew, it was dusting, and the rain, it was muddy. Lots of things that happened that I can remember. And the outstanding ones that made the difference between that day and this day was, as I've said before, the shacks, you know, that they did business in. They were very common all over the old countryside and at the crossroads and places like that, where there was a crossroads store. That's what they used, and that was these old shack of buildings. They weren't very nice buildings, and so on. They'd come down pretty fast. Ill treatment, and what you might say with the public going in and out of stores, actually the floors would pan out, you know, make holes in the wood and so on. But way back there in 50 years ago now, we built and put in waterworks, electricity, seemed like all of that came hand over fist. We first had electricity, using one light to the room above, you see, and we had to hold the cost down. We were just barely using electricity, certainly in comparison with today. So anyway, electricity came, then the waterworks came, then the hard surface came. And I remember very well when we were building and reconstructing the town streets and paving them, putting in the waterworks. So I very well remember how bad it was. Because we had that, yes, it's so many rains. It rained so much. Even reminded me of today when we're doing it over again, you see, right now, which was 50 years ago. And we're doing it again because it had come to the place. Something had to be done. So I think we're doing a good job now, just like we did a good job then. So we're used to better things in life since we got electricity, paved streets, waterworks. It's all added up to better living, better ways of life. And along with that has come some of the better things in life that we can entertain ourselves with, live better, and appreciate our kind of living better. However, you always feel like we're overdoing it some way or another, or not doing near enough some way or another. So they keep us busy trying to figure out ways. Hope you're going to ask me something about politics.
Yes, sir. Explain the politics of the past years.
Well, of course, it was almost a sin in my father's house to
anybody say he was anything but a Democrat. So I don't know. It seemed like that when you grew up with things like that, church life and other things, why it gets a hold on you to the point that well, what's better than this anyway? Is anything any better? Is it worthwhile to look for something else? Well, we accept things. We went at things in good faith.